Lecture 30, The Birth of Byzantium.
Well, welcome yet again to our series of lectures on the foundations of Western civilization. This is lecture number 30. And in this lecture, we're going to talk about the Byzantine Empire. Now, you may recall that at the beginning of the previous lecture, I had said that we would give 3 lectures to the heirs of the Roman Empire. We spoke in the last lecture of what I called the least predictable, perhaps the most surprising of these heirs, the Islamic people, the Arab peoples, the Prophet Muhammad, and the Islamic faith. Today we turn our attention to the eastern end of the Mediterranean, to the Byzantine Empire, the heir of the Eastern Roman Empire, and in our next lecture we'll turn to the kingdoms of the Germanic West. Now, as the kingdoms of the Germanic West were evolving over the course of the 5th century, the Eastern Empire persisted. And again, if we were to go back to some point in the late 4th, the 5th, maybe in the very early 6th century, we would probably predict that, well, this Roman Empire is going to continue having some kind of existence. That it did so would not surprise us, though we might very well have been a little unclear what its future would be. Why then in the 4th and across the 5th, maybe the very early years of the 6th century, did the Eastern Roman Empire seem to be a bit more successful than its Western counterpart, which after all disappeared? Well, I think we can identify some very basic reasons. For example, in the East, there were fewer and less acute frontier problems. In the West, the long Rhine and Danube frontiers were threatened again and again and again. We saw how the Visigoths settled in the Balkans first and then went to the West. Now, there were some serious challenges in the East, but they were less acute, less persistent, and less contemporaneous. They didn't happen all at the same time, as happened more or less in the West. Generally, the Eastern rulers were more skillful and competent. Now, this is just a piece of historical dumb luck. There's no theory, there's no great thesis that will explain this. The East had a series of quite effective, capable rulers at a time when, on the whole, the West did not. The East was more prosperous. It was more urbanized. It was more intellectually cultivated. In many ways, the Romans chose to take their stand in the East. And this is important to remember, because they chose to take their stand in the East, and they stood, as we'll see as we move along, for 1,000 years. So, lest we regard the Romans as somehow helpless victims of all of these complex forces of late antiquity, let's remember that the eastern half of the Roman Empire, in a sense, addressed its problems, or continued to do so, and persisted. The East, however, also had very, very deep religious divisions. Primarily, these religious divisions were between those who called themselves Orthodox, right believers, and those who were Monophysite. Now, you'll remember, perhaps, the Monophysites were, back in the Christological controversies of late antiquity, the persons who emphasized one nature, monophysis, one nature, the divine nature in Jesus Christ. All right, we had talked about the Trinitarian problems, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Christological problems, Jesus is man and God. In the East, there were acute tensions generated by the fact that there were large numbers of Monophysite Christian communities alongside Orthodox Christian communities. So, all was not rosy in the East, but things were rosier in the East than they were in the West. Now, when we come then to look in on this Eastern Roman Empire, we must say right away that no one in the 5th century thought of the empire based on Constantinople as anything but Roman. In hindsight, and of course, again, I've emphasized many, many times, historians are very good at hindsight. Our hindsight is always 20/20. Historians predict the past. We don't predict the future very well at all. We can see that gradually two great cultural realms, East and West, or Byzantine Orthodox Christian and Western Latin Christian, were going to move apart, were going to drift apart. But in the East, they never saw themselves as something new or something different. They thought of themselves as Romans. Now, what I want to do over the next few minutes is take a series of vantage points on this evolving Eastern Empire, or eventually, as we'll come to call it, Byzantine. But when we start to call it Byzantine, We'll see exactly why we call it that. I want to take a series of vantage points and see if we can observe this slow but steady evolution, this slow but steady transformation of the Empire of East Rome into something that it's legitimate to call Byzantine, if only by way of putting a title on it that marks that it is something new and different, even if those people never thought of themselves as anything other than Roman.